Okay. I'll take a different angle and I'll talk about economic governance in Turkey. And I'll be presenting my preliminary findings on the Europeanization of regulation in Turkey. Which is a very recent process, actually. And I'll try to sort of summarize the complexities of this process of the ongoing process of Europeanization of regulation. And I'd like to mention that this is really a work in progress, and it's based on my recent work on the quality of regulation, actually. So any feedback is more than welcome. So let's lay out the context first. Regulatory reforms in Turkey and the impact of the Europeanization. So the diffusion of regulatory governance in the world is a recent trend, is a widespread phenomenon. And such a phenomenon, such trend has spread to developing countries as well in the last couple of decades. In the 1990s, in the 2000s, we've seen the spread of regulatory governance almost everywhere, especially in the middle-income countries. So Turkey has not been an exception in this trend. And so such spread has given rise to the rise of different forms of the regulatory state, if I may borrow Professor Levifauer's term. Although Turkey has been a latecomer in this process, its regulatory reform started in the late 1990s, it has gone through a so-called regulatory inflation, in which a broad range of reforms have been carried out with mixed results. And 9 independent regulatory agencies have been established in different sectors, again, with mixed results. The triggers of such broad reforms, such broad institutional change, let me call it that way, have been, of course, varied. And the crises that the Turkish economy have gone through, I would say since the 1990s, starting with 1994 and then 1997, 1999, 2000 and 2001, facilitated an opportune, so-called an opportune environment for the establishment of regulatory governance and the agencies. And of course, the coercion imposed by the European Union. But the European Union has not been the only coercive actor in this whole process. In the international organizations like the IMF, the WTO, the World Bank, and also the OECD have also played very important roles. And so as we know, Turkish economy has been governed or used to be governed by the IMF partially, at least for some years after the crisis, the 2001 crisis especially. So the sources of institutional change. First, of course, Europeanization. And so it's quite challenging because it's not easy to isolate the impact of Europeanization from those of the other actors and factors. So borrowing from Professor Berzal's definition, or in line with it, I define Europeanization as institutional adaptation in this context in relation to regulatory governance through the impact of the European Union, of course. So then some scholars suggest that regulation and Europeanization have become mutually enforcing processes, developments. But then the challenge, as I said, for such statement is the existence of multiple conditionalities and multiple coercions and also multiple forms of coercions, sometimes imposed by the very same actors. Other triggers have been at play in the establishing regulatory governance in the Turkish case. I did talk about the IMF, the World Bank, the WTO, OECD, and also the processes of internationalization and globalization, as Turkish economy has gone through a broad range of market reforms, including liberalization and privatization and other similar reforms since the 1980s, Turkish economy has been incorporated into the international markets and globalized, and such processes also trigger regulatory governance in many countries. So, and I'd like to sort of examine the incomplete institutional adaptation in terms of regulatory reforms or in terms of Europeanization of regulation in Turkey. But then this varies between sectors. So that's why I use Europeanizations of regulation in Turkey. And Europeanization gets to be filtered by domestic institutions. And not only the domestic institutions, but also the vested interests entrenched in those institutions. Yet there is still considerable variation across sectors and across time. I picked three cases, the competition, better reform, I will explain what that is, and telecommunications. And the reason why I picked these cases is that the European Union or Europeanization per se has been the most influential factor in the spread of regulatory reforms in these three cases. Of course, there is this challenge here, competition and better reform do not necessarily entail specific sectors, but they are over sectors, but telecommunications is a specific sector. And I also analyzed the institutionalization in terms of regulatory reforms at three levels, at the European level in these cases, and national level and the sectoral level. So the question then, what accounts for varying levels of Europeanization in the same national setting? I mean, given that the sort of macro domestic institutions would be the same, and given that the resistance by those domestic institutions would be the same, yet there is still variation, and institutional adaptation in terms of Europeanization has been much greater in some sectors than in the others. And in my cases, amongst my cases, competition represents the higher level of institutional adaptation, and better reform and telecommunications represent, on the other hand, low level, very low levels of institutional adaptation. Although the EU, as I said, has played important roles in all of the three. So I'm going to talk about the institutional, macro-institutional settings, let's say, which have generated certain levels of resistance for regulatory governance. And first of all, as I said before, the top-down institution making has emerged in terms of the coercion imposed by both international actors and the European Union. And this sort of coupled, this was not coupled with the political will, which might have been emerged within Turkey. And a societal demand was absent as well in most sectors. For instance, when we look at finance, which is another sector where regulatory governance has emerged lately, there is a different context. But then in the sectors that I mentioned, lack of social demand sort of marked the process. Okay, the institutional arrangements. I'm going to talk about certain historical legacies in terms of institutions within economic governance, within the context of economic governance. So state intervention first. State intervention in the economy as an outcome of the state-led development strategies which were implemented for about 50 years in Turkey between the 1930s and 1980s. It created a certain legitimation of state interference. And so this is not only by the public, but also by business actors, that state interference is good and necessary and appropriate. It's kind of a norm that is prevalent in terms of economic governance. So the father state discourse, the patrimonial state legacy in Turkey, which is very prevalent in the literature on Turkey. Executive discretion has been very prevalent in terms of an institution in economic governance. especially since the 1980s. Late Özal, the Prime Minister of Turkey in the 1980s, and the pioneer of market reforms in Turkey, and late President. So he sort of facilitated such shift in terms of institutions and establishing this sort of legacy of rule by decrees in order to sort of like bypass the legislative deadlocks. He started ruling by decrees, which has been very much used very prevalently by the following incumbents. So politicization of bureaucracy, infiltration of politics into the bureaucracy. This has been a phenomenon, I would say, since the 1950s, but increasingly influential in the policy making, in economic governance since the 1980s. And intra-bureaucracy fragmentation and rivalry between the bureaucratic actors, which sometimes, in some cases, especially in terms of economic governance and regulatory reforms, created certain deadlocks. So the regulatory reforms, the context in which regulatory reforms have been established. So some independent regulatory agencies, which have been established in the last 15 years or so, do have, you know, by definition, they need to be autonomous from political intervention. So discrepancy between the formal design and operation of these agencies brought about this very interesting picture, in which the Turkish, or at least some of the Turkish IRAs, independent regulatory agencies, are known as the most autonomous, almost amongst the most autonomous in the world. But in practice, they deviate from their formal structure, and they sort of provide spaces in terms of politicization of the processes in which regulations are made and implemented. But there is considerable variation between the agencies, and they have varying institutional capacities which affect the implementation of reforms in sectors. So then in the Turkish case, regulatory governance, or establishing regulatory governance, spread of regulatory governance, did not or could not necessarily prevent political interference. So there is this so-called almost reorganized interventionism in which the ministries hold a lot of power. They did not surrender their power. And the government, indeed, successive governments actually have had quite a leeway to intervene in the workings, operations of these agencies and regulation overall. So then my argument is that, like, what explains the variation across sectors and across time? So it's a combination of two things. So the form of coercion, because coercion is not a monolith, and even for the same country, even by the Europeanization process, and even with the same acquis sometimes, so different sectors might be subject to different forms of coercions. I will explain that in a bit. And the institutional capacity. Institutional capacity in different sectors, and I will explain the determinants of institutional capacity. So then the combination of these two factors will give rise to different degrees of Europeanization or Europeanizations. So the form of coercion. The EU impact is not a monolith. So there is not only cross-sectoral variation, but also there is cross-temporal variation in terms of the EU coercion. For instance, I'll talk about the sectors in a bit. In terms of telecommunications, I mentioned before that the institutional adaptation has been quite weak in the telecommunications sector. So in the telecommunications at the EU level, the coercion has differed substantially. So before the Lisbon strategy and after the Lisbon strategy, so the coercion varied considerably. So it is very much determined by the level of institutionalization at the EU level. And so I then look at strict versus loose coercion at the EU level. And in terms of the institutional capacity, and so I suggest that the reforms, regulatory reforms, although they might be imposed through coercion, different forms of coercion, they need to be owned by certain domestic constituencies. So the ownership of reforms, and you need political will, and you need policy communities of experts, who might be integrated, incorporated into transnational networks of experts later. So which has been the case in competition? The competition authority and its experts have facilitated this community, policy community, who's very much dedicated to regulatory reform in competition. And so the workings, so not only the formal design of competition authority, but also the operation of competition authority has diverged a lot when you consider the other cases where you have regulatory reforms. Then I'm not going to talk about the cases each by each, but then, so just this table, the weak institutional capacity and loose coercion, so you have lower levels of Europeanization at the first box there, and so you have better reform, and you have telecommunications until 2008. And you have, as you move down here, you have higher levels of Europeanization, and you have competition, so which entail the combination of strict coercion by the European Union and strong institutional capacity. So then, in order to sort of show a within-case variation, I analyzed the telecommunication across time, so telecommunication still does not necessarily represent high levels of Europeanization, but it's been moving, so it's been varying after coercion, the form of coercion changed from loose to strict coercion at the EU level. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.